Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from edgy elves to eager Ettercaps. And today we're talking about Empyreans and Ogre Mercenaries.
Nice. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How's your day, man?
It's going good, man. Yeah. Hey, I like your shirt, dog.
Yeah, I hope the green isn't getting messed up in that green screen, but yeah, it's what the grumps.
It probably is. They can probably see like rando books behind it.
But it looks great in the real life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if you want to see it, how it looks in the real life, go to our Teespring.
Teespring.com/dungeoncast,
I think. No, it's Teespring. It's actually teespring.com/stores/the-dungeoncast. It's the best I could get. But guess what? The link's in the description. Let's talk about Empyreans.
I like that. I like
and Ogre Mercenaries.
Yes, please.
So today's episode, we're covering two almost completely unrelated topics, Empyreans and Ogre Mercenaries. Now, as dissimilar as these two topics are, they have two common threads, making them perfect episode companions for today's Dungeon Cast.
I got the first one.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Big guys.
Yep. Number one, they are both big guys. And it is, as we have claimed many times on this show,
the year of the big
giant,
guy.
Of the giant. Let me be clear.
It's the year of the giant, but it's the year of the big guy.
Yeah, sure. Number two, though.
Big guy.
Is neither of these topics has enough meat on their bones to carry their own episode. That's the other thing.
Well, yeah, you've seen Dungeon Cast episodes before, hopefully.
Where we double stuff up.
Yeah, we double stuff Oreo, but it's just the size of one Oreo.
Yeah, so Empyreans have practically no source book outside of the 5e Monster Manual, and Ogre Mercenaries would have just been included in the original Ogres and Trolls episode if Morgenkind's Tome of Foes had been released at that time, but it had not. So we have a lot of stat blocks to go over today, a bit of lore for everyone, and some creative ideas for implementing these monsters into your D&D campaign setting.
Cool.
So let's begin with Empyreans.
I would like that.
All right. These beings are also known as Celestial Titans.
Ooh. And
indeed, on their 5e Monster Manual stat block, they're tagged as Celestials, parentheses, Titans.
Okay.
Now, this is something I kind of find particularly interesting because traditionally, Titans in D&D are essentially bigger, more powerful giants, even higher in the ordning than their smaller kin.
Interesting.
Yeah, there are titans for every kind of giant, including Frost Titan, Fire Titan, Storm Titan, etc. Titans are strikingly similar to their giant counterparts, but much bigger, with heights between 25 to 50 feet tall.
Okay.
These classic D&D titans usually dwell in the various outer planes, rarely making their homes in the material plane.
Okay.
Now, Empyreans have absolutely nothing to do with these kinds of titans, despite having the tag titan. And in fact, 5e seems to be pretending as if these kind of titans don't exist at all, or at least I haven't seen any source books referring to them or statting them out, which is why we haven't spoken about them up until now in this year of the giant.
So 5e, no titans so far.
So far, they existed before. I'm sure they still exist, but they haven't been talked about.
I mean, yeah, you can just like go pluck some old lore off the tree.
A lot of 5e lore keeps saying that storm giants are at the absolute pinnacle height of the ordning, but if there are titans, that isn't true, so I'm not sure. Anyways, moving on.
Okay.
So, Empyreans seem to be a new addition to D&D, having been introduced in the 5e Monster Manual for the first time, and they're essentially the celestial children of deities.
Nice.
The Monster Manual specifies that they are specifically offspring of deities of the upper plane, so specifically good deities.
Okay, so just good deities making big children.
Exactly. So, though I do not see why evil deities would produce different offspring, especially considering the fact that evil Empyreans, which we will elaborate on later, do in fact exist.
Okay.
So, they're depicted as universally beautiful, statuesque, and self-assured beings. Perfect divine humanoids of immense power, elegance, and shapeliness. Now, this is an interesting concept to me. I don't know why, but up until now, I just assumed that children of gods would also be gods.
Okay.
But the more I think about that, that doesn't entirely make sense. So, though many children of gods are also gods in their own right, deity-dom is tied more to worship and the number of worshipers one has than anything else.
Yeah.
So an Empyrean definitely has a huge head start toward godhood than nearly any other type of being in the cosmos. Immense power, immortality, great networking amongst all their parents' friends, a sizable inheritance of worshipers who probably worship their parents first, but...
Hey, you're Pelor's kid.
Yeah.
Nice.
And they probably want to see their god's child, you know, career potentially blossom.
Right.
Hey, you're Pelor's kid. Nice. But they are not born gods and do not technically have divinity in them from their birth.
Does that make them like demigods?
Kind of.
Except well, I guess demigods, it just makes them Empyreans.
It makes them Empyreans, yeah. And, but because a demigod in D&D does have divinity. They're just a very, very low-level god.
Right, okay.
So, now from the limited amount written about Empyreans, portrays their psychology in a very interesting light. Empyreans seem to be a bit more capricious, mercurial, and even immature than their parents.
Sorry, I'm stuck on my...
Yeah, you do you.
I got a wire.
An Empyrean can experience deity-like fits of both serenity and rage. Their emotions are extremely potent and prone to change. So potent are their emotions, in fact, that they can affect the environment around them simply by its mood.
Oh.
When an Empyrean is unhappy, the clouds might cry tears of salt water. The wildflowers and surrounding meadows might wilt. Dead fish might wash ashore in lakes or rivers. And or nearby forests might lose leaves from its trees.
Come along, child. No, mommy, wait, it's raining. It's like, what? Mommy, salt.
The Empyreans are crying.
What the hell?
When an Empyrean is jubilant, sunlight follows it everywhere. Small animals frolic in its footsteps, and birds fill the sky with their pleasing songs.
Okay, cool. So this makes sense because you have lots of like high-level beings affecting
their
environment around them.
So absolutely.
This is kind of more set localized to them.
To
right?
them, yeah. This
it's not
true.
Like a mile within the Empyrean, the fucking volcanoes erupt and the birds sing songs.
Right, right.
Okay.
So I think this may be a way of portraying the fact that as children of gods, they are young.
Okay.
Even Empyreans that are thousands of years old are infants in comparison to the span of eternity.
Okay.
So with their immortality comes slowness of change and thus perhaps a certain slowness of learning and experience that develops emotional maturity.
Okay.
That's what I get from it. That's kind of my read on it.
It's reminding me of oak trees.
It just what?
Trees are old.
Trees are old. That is a fact. As one would expect, a being whose emotions are so difficult to control can also be manipulated or coerced to the dark side, maybe a bit more easier than others might be.
Okay.
A few Empyreans have turned to evil for after venturing to the lower planes and becoming corrupted, or as a result of being cursed by evil gods. An evil Empyrean can't survive long on the upper planes and usually retreats to the material plane where it can rule over a kingdom of mortals as an indomitable tyrant.
Hmm.
So that'd be nice... campaign ender. These things are fucking powerful.
Okay,
like
sweet.
Ancient dragon powerful. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, so definitely
well, yeah.
Campaign ender.
God babies,
yeah. So
I'm picturing Atlas, but since they're giants, they're just instead of holding like a planet, they're just holding a fucking boulder,
yeah.
You know? That's
right.
The rock they're going to throw.
Sure.
They just hold it like that. Like, "Ugh, I'm so buff."
I'm so buff. So Empyreans have a semi-unique form of immortality. They don't age, but can technically be slain. When an Empyrean dies, its spirit returns to its home plane. There, one of the fallen Empyrean's parents resurrects the Empyrean, unless he or she has a good reason not to, like they turned evil or something. Because of this, few Empyreans can imagine their own demise, and thus they fight fearlessly when drawn into battle and plunge recklessly into danger, refusing to believe that the end is upon them, even when standing on death's door, because in truth, it isn't upon them.
So they're biologically immortal again?
They're biologically immortal.
Okay.
And on top of that, when they're slain, their parents, who are gods, just resurrect them.
Dope.
I mean, privilege. There it is.
Yeah, man.
Any questions so far? Because I only got one last thing to say.
My questions are stat block related.
Cool. Because we are going to dive into it.
Yeah, so many times my questions are stat block related. So
yeah, this is true. So last thing I want to talk about before hitting the stat block is the etymology of the word Empyrean. This word comes from ancient Greece and the concept in ancient cosmologies of the Empyrean heaven, or simply the Empyrean.
Okay.
This was the place in the highest heaven, which was supposed to be occupied by the element of fire, or aether in Aristotle's natural philosophy. The Empyrean was thus used as a name in Christian literature for the dwelling place of God, the blessed celestial beings so divine that they are made of pure light and the source of light and creation. Notably, at the very end of Dante's Paradiso, Dante visited God in the Empyrean.
Okay. So. Oh, yeah, he did. That's right.
Cool. I've never read it. So
well, I know the word. I didn't read that one.
Okay.
I've seen it, though.
Gotcha.
I had to research it to pass tests.
Because I was curious about the name, so I looked it looked into it. But yeah, let's dive into the stat block.
I like that. Let's dive into the stat block. I actually put it in a really inopportune place. So give me a second while I delay and just talk about some whatever bullshit and get it out in front of me.
Okay.
Empyrean. Huge celestial, and in parentheses, it does say Titan.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Me neither.
Maybe it's a setup.
Maybe. Been a long setup, though.
Mordenkainen's Tome of Big Guys.
Next.
Next up. Now we're getting Tasha's culture of all the stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so chaotic good, 75%, or neutral evil, 25%. So this is just detailing out of the 100% of these guys, 75 are good.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Cool. Armor class, 22 natural armor. Yeah. These things are definitely going to be wearing armor, nah?
They could.
Yeah.
Don't need to because it's natural.
And the armor would
need to be. Oh, you don't see the picture. I was like, do you see the chest on that guy? And tell me he doesn't have 22 armor.
I'm just picturing Atlas, so yeah. Yeah.
Big you know chest. What? You keep reading stuff, like I'm going to show Atlas, you an Empyrean.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, armor class, 22 natty. 313 HP, which is nothing to snuff. Sneeze at. Let's see. Speed is 50 feet. Movement speed, 50 feet flying speed, and 50 feet swimming speed. This is some triathlon shit. It's amazing.
Tell me that those pecs don't have 22 armor class.
I've seen these guys. Yeah. Oh, man, dude. The shoulders on this beast. I know. Fuck me. Oh, dear.
Continue.
The DM showed me that. I was like, this is what you're fighting. It's fucking very tall. Okay. It moved 50 feet in a round. It flew 50. Damn. This is a scary monster. Okay. So the strength is 30. The dex is 21. The con is 30. Whew. Intelligence is 21, wisdom 22, charisma is 27.
Extremely powerful.
Saving throws, strength plus 17.
I think this monster breaks the top five of strong monsters we've ever talked about.
Plus 17 strength. Intelligence plus 12, wisdom plus 13, charisma plus 15.
I think top three would probably be Angel, Red Dragon, this guy.
Yeah.
Tarrasque.
That's tracking.
Tarrasque.
I Storm Giant wasn't even like...
No, not even close.
Okay, so, well, yeah, goes without saying that Tarrasque is a fucking animal. Skills, plus 13 to Insight, plus 15 to Persuasion. And then the damage immunities are damage immunities, and there's a lot of them. Bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical attacks. That makes total sense, though. Senses, it's got True Sight for 120 feet. Oh, and then Passive Perception is 16. It knows all languages.
Why not?
Wow. And the challenge rating is 23 with 50,000 XP.
I think that's tied with Ancient Red Dragon. I'm not sure.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Innate spellcasting. The Empyrean's innate spellcasting ability is Charisma. Spell save DC 23, plus 15 to hit with spell attacks. It can innately cast the following spells requiring no material components. And at will, it can cast Greater Restoration, which is very good. Pass Without a Trace, which is very good. Water Breathing, usually very good. If you need it, you need it. And then Water Walk, which is total sense for God stuff.
Sure.
And once per day, it can commune, dispel evil and good, Earthquake, Fire, oh, Storm, and Plane Shift. And it can only plane shift itself, it says in parentheses.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never read Earthquake or Firestorm, but they sound crazy.
I'm sure they're as crazy as they sound.
Oh, we're going to read them after this episode. Legendary Resistance, 3 per day. If the Empyrean fails a saving throw, it can choose to succeed instead. Magic Resistance. The Empyrean has advantage on saving throws against spells and other magical effects. Magic Weapons. The Empyrean's weapon attacks are magical. That just means that it can pick up any weapon and it just does magical damage. Yep. Wow, cool. The actions. Maul. Melee weapon attack plus 17 to hit. Reaches 10 feet. One target.
Should be bigger. Honestly, it should be 15 feet with how fucking big they are.
I know, but...
Whatever.
Yeah. The hit is going to be 31 or 66 plus 10 bludgeoning damage. If the target is a creature, it must succeed on a DC 15 constitution saving throw or be stunned until the end of the Empyrean's next turn. That's raging, man. Mm-hmm. Bolt is a ranged spell attack with plus 15 to hit, a range of 600 feet.
God damn.
That's some, what was the elemental that we talked about that was doing that shit?
From like a mile away. Like a mile away, yeah.
Rayquaza.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that hit is going to be one target at 24 damage or 7d6, which is nice. Just do a fucking 600 foot fireball out mm-hmm. there. Damage of, 24 damage of one of the following types. Empyrean's choice. You're either gonna choose acid, cold, fire, force, lightning, radiant, or thunder.
They can invoke all the elements. Okay.
Yeah, well, one of them at a time. But, yeah. But yeah, they can get them all. Legendary actions. The Empyrean can take three of these, choosing from the options below. One legendary action can be used at a time, at the end of another creature's turn. The Empyrean regains spent legendary actions at the start of its turn, so it can do an attack. So Empyrean makes one attack. So choose either Maul or Bolt. And then Bolster. The Empyrean bolsters all non-hostile creatures within 120 feet of it until the end of its turn. Bolstered creatures can't be charmed or frightened, and they gain advantage on ability checks and saving throws until the end of the Empyrean's next turn. So just like paladining up.
Yeah,
like, AOE and all their boys. trembling. I wonder if you're already afraid. This bolster probably wouldn't stop you from being, like, if you're already afflicted by fear,
makes them immune to fear?
No, it says they can't be charmed or frightened. So it's a preventative thing.
Yeah, I think it would cancel the frightened effect because you can't be frightened. So thus you cannot be frightened. Does that make sense?
Well, I mean, you're already frightened.
Yeah. And now
I get what you're saying.
Now you can't be.
Trembling Strike, it costs two of your legendary actions. The Empyrean strikes the ground with its maul, triggering an earth tremor. All other creatures on the ground within 60 feet of the Empyrean must succeed on a DC 25 strength saving throw or be knocked prone. So he just fucking punched the ground with the maul.
And everyone's knocked
And everybody, over. Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
and that's it. That's what we got for the stat block. That's absolutely savage.
Yeah, it's a monster stat block. Definitely a campaign ender.
yeah.
And there's not really any room for him as not a campaign ender unless your party is just so strong.
Yeah, like where are you going to have like
all level 20s and decked out, and then maybe you need three of these guys.
And then you have like a little NPC army to like help fight it.
Yeah, something exactly. Like that.
Maybe this is your like, I was running two games. I've always wanted to do this, by the way. I want to run two separate games where the parties meet at the end.
I've heard about people doing that.
And then people role play two characters or whatever at the same time. Yeah. Or we have that many people.
Or that,
and
they
team up to fight the Empyrean.
It's for me, I've seen like...
They fight each other. That's dope too.
Against each other,
that's like Golden Sun Lost Age. The first Golden spoilers for Golden Sun. I love that game. I think we've spoiled it so many times at this point. But the first Golden Sun, you play as a party trying to stop this other party, and they're like way ahead of you. And then in the second game, you're the other party, and then that party catches up, and it's like, we're gonna have to fight to the death, dog, even though we're childhood friends and shit. And it's like, hey, no, you've been wrong the whole time. I was like, ah, fuck it, let's team up, and now you get double people to play the game with.
That's really cool.
So good. Really did well.
Let's take a short rest and we'll come back to Ogre Mercenaries.
We will. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services: what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need.
Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga,
a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and set in space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
Shit, we're back.
Indeed we are.
What do we got left?
Ogre mercenaries.
That's right.
So ogre mercenaries are exactly what they sound like. Ogres who have either been coaxed, bullied, or persuaded into using their brute strength for hire. And usually in a more organized manner than they would naturally.
Okay.
Now this is one of those things that I've praised 4th edition for and given 5e a hard time about. 4e was really good about having a variety of types of a single monster you could throw at a party. You didn't just have the Manticore. You also had variants like the Manticore Skyhunter and the Manticore Impaler.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, 4e offered versions of things with alternative abilities and varying levels of difficulty, which made encounter building fun and easy at whatever level you pleased. 5e has a different approach on a lot of monsters, only offering a single version of a creature. And it isn't difficult to tweak a monster or anything, but having variants is always nice. That being said, here are some ogre variants for Mordenkainen and some of those that are fucking awesome.
Yeah, I did notice that they have variants of like the more common monsters.
More humanoid monsters, I've noticed.
Goblins, kobolds, and ogres, and orcs, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
I think orcs, yeah.
Yeah, orcs too.
Yeah, yeah,
all the humanoid ones, yeah.
What do you want me to do first for this?
So I'm going to go through this in the order that I have the notes, and then we'll just do each one. So.
Oh, okay, cool. More notes. Got it.
Ogres are infamously dim-witted, but with enough time and patience, some of them can be trained to carry out specialized missions in battle. Mm-hmm. The names they are given, the Battering Ram, the Bolt Launcher, the Chain Brute, and the Howdah, reflect their particular functions. These jobs are simple, but they're tailored to take advantage of an ogre's strength. We're going to start with Ogre Battering Ram.
Okay.
An Ogre Battering Ram carries an enormous club used primarily for bashing doors into kindling, but which also works well for smashing foes. These ogres are drilled in two simple tasks, rushing forward to shatter enemy fortifications and using their weapons to force an advancing enemy to halt.
There you go.
So let's read the stat block for the Ogre Battering Ram.
Got it right here, my dude. Ogre Battering Ram, large giant, chaotic evil. Armor class is 14. They're wearing ring mail. Which is like the lowest heavy armor, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's like rings woven together on the leather.
Yeah.
Languages are common and giant, and the challenge rating is 4. Right in that window there. Siege monster. The ogre deals double damage to objects and structures, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so actions are the bash. Melee weapon attack plus 6 to hit. Reach is 5 feet. 1 target. The hit is going to be 15 or 2d10 plus 4 bludgeoning damage, and the ogre can push the target 5 feet away if the target is huge or smaller.
Oh, nice.
Nice, yeah, it is nice. Okay, so block the path. Until the start of the ogre's next turn, attack rolls against the ogre have disadvantage. It has advantage on attack rolls if... It has advantage on attack rolls it makes for an opportunity attack, and that attack deals an extra 16 or 3d10 bludgeoning damage on a hit. Yeah. Also, each enemy that tries to move out of the ogre's reach without teleporting must succeed on a DC 14 strength saving throw or have its speed reduced to 0 until the start of the ogre's next turn.
So this guy locks people down.
Knock the wind out of you or whatever.
Yeah, ooh. That's pretty cool.
Wow, okay. But that's it for that one.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wait. Did I read the strength? It's got... I think I skipped the, did I skip all this stuff? The armor class is 14. The HP was 59, speed 40 feet.
I think you said that.
I did say all that. Did I detail the strength dex and stuff? I don't remember.
I don't remember you doing the abilities now.
It's got 19 strength, 8 dex. So that's a minus one there. 16 con, 5 intelligence. This is an ogre, 7 wisdom and 7 charisma.
Okay.
Has 60 feet of dark vision. Passive perception is 8. It's yeah, and I read it speaks common and giant. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the battering ram. Sounds pretty useful, again, for locking things down and bashing things in. So next, we're going to talk about the Ogre Bolt Launcher. A bolt launcher carries a gigantic crossbow, a weapon so large it's essentially an ogre-held ballista.
Whoa.
An Ogre Bolt Launcher can load this immense weapon and loose its deadly missile as quickly as a dwarf handles a crossbow. The bolts are so large that few ogres can carry more than half a dozen at a time, but bolt launchers have been known to uproot small trees or tear beams out of buildings and launch those when their ammunition runs low. So they'll launch the beams.
Yeah, can you imagine? Can you imagine taking, like, sitting in a tavern and just it gets attacked by one of these guys? Like, some orc bats down the door. Yeah. Another one shoots this bolt through the window. That'd it takes out the support beam.
Fucking horrifying.
It accidentally kills the battering ram orc when the building collapses.
Yeah, sure. Whoops.
No, he just damages the debris falling on it. He's like, no, I do double damage to all this shit.
Right, exactly. So let's look at the bolt launcher stat block.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're talking about essentially a ranged ogre.
Ranged ogre. Ogre bolt launcher. Large, giant, chaotic, evil, armor class 13, hide armor. HP is 59, same as the last one. Speed is 40 feet. So pretty much these are all going to be statted the same, it looks like. This is
yeah, because they're the same creature with different abilities.
So this one, this... Like, they're specializing, though. So the deck, the only thing different is instead of the minus one dex for the battering ram, this is going to have actually plus one dex, so 12 dex.
Oh, okay, because they've trained in the dexter starts of ranged weapon.
Yeah, and they're wearing a lighter armor so they can move a little better. So is what point. It seems like. Yeah. But everything else is the same. So the 19 strength, 16 con, 5 intelligence, 7 wisdom, 7 charisma. The dark vision of 60 feet with a passive perception of 8, common and giant, challenge rating 2. This is one's a challenge rating 2. The other one was a challenge rating 4. Actions, fist, so melee weapon attack plus 6. They should really find a better name for that, yeah?
Punch, maybe?
Maybe punch. end of arm strike.
End of arm thrust.
Yeah. No, I don't know about that one either. Okay, so plus 6 to hit, reach of 5 feet, 1 target. It's going to do 9 or 2d4 plus 4 bludge.
So not great.
Not great. Bad name.
Sure.
Bolt launcher. Here's the money shot. Ranged weapon attack, plus 3 to hit with a range of 120 or 480 feet.
Okay, long distance.
Yeah, one target. The hit is going to do 17 damage or 3d10 plus 1 pierce.
Very potent. For challenge rating 2, that's very strong.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
you definitely want to get range. You got to make sure you zigzag when you run away from this guy.
Mm-hmm. True that. That's the end of that one?
Yep.
All right, next let's talk about the Ogre Chain Brute. An ogre chain brute wields a great spiked chain. It swings this chain with both hands in a wide circle around itself to knock foes off their feet. Alternatively, it can swing the chain in a crushing overhead smash that's nearly impossible to block or deflect. Elaborate with that stat block.
You got it. So this is the ogre chain brute, large, giant, chaotic, evil, with an armor class of 11, hide armor. That's 59 HP again, speed of 40 feet again. Strength, 19. The dex is back down to an 8. Con 16, intelligence 5, wisdom 7, charisma 7. So pretty much identical to the ogre battering ram. The dark vision is going to be 60 feet, common, giant, challenge rating.
The same stuff, yeah.
Challenge rating 3. Actions, fist.
Cool.
Yep.
Same damage?
Yes, it's exactly the same. I'm not going to read that again.
Okay.
Next one is chain sweep.
So there we go. Here's something new.
The ogre swings its chain. Nice. And every creature within 10 feet of it must make a DC 14 dexterity saving throw. On a failed saving throw, a creature takes 8, or 1d8 plus 4, bludgeoning damage, and it is knocked prone. On a successful save, the creature takes half as much damage and is not knocked prone.
Okay. Nice. So, like, basically a spell save. That's a nice AoE.
So, yeah, chain sweep. So, out in front, I imagine.
10 feet all around them?
Yeah.
And they're large, right?
Every creature within 10 feet of it.
And are they large or huge? I think they're large.
They are. Large.
So that's like a 40-foot diameter, like a 40-foot area.
Right, because of the space they take up. Exactly. So everything around it.
It's nice.
I'm
into it.
Don't fuck with this thing. Chain smash. So this first one's a sweep. you know, going all around it, just doing a spinny. This one's probably bringing it down overhead.
Yeah.
It's on a recharge of, you got to roll a D6 and land a 6.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, pretty good. Melee weapon attack is going to be +6 to hit with a reach of 10 feet for one target.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be 13 or 2d8 +4 bludgeoning damage. And the target must succeed on a DC 14 con save or be knocked unconscious for 1 minute.
That's why it's got such a high recharge.
Yeah.
That thing's scary. I can't wait to throw that at some players.
The unconscious target repeats the saving throw if it takes damage and at the end of each of its turns.
Oh, okay.
So ending the effect on itself.
It's almost like a temporary stun in a way.
Yeah.
That's still awesome. I really like that.
I mean, a lot of bad things can happen to you if you're unconscious.
This is true.
I don't know if you can, like, is there a quick spell you can do to, like, up an unconscious person real quick or, like... Because, like, just healing them
won't bring them back.
Yeah.
I think there is. I think, God, what's the name of the spell? It's a pretty low-level spell that, like, it, like, takes off poison and all
like
that.
Like, end an effect.
It ends an effect. I can't remember.
Was it a restoration spell of some kind?
It might
something
be.
Like that?
I can't remember.
I don't know. Let us know in the comments.
But I'm sure there is one. Is that it for the chain brute?
That was it for the chain brute.
All right. Let's get into the last one, the ogre howdah.
Howdah.
So, the most unusual of the specialized ogres, the howdah carries a palisaded wooden fort on its back. The fort is, I should show you a
picture.
It's
like the elephants in Lord of the Rings or whatever?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Which, wow, that's I haven't talked about Lord of the Rings a long time. It's an elephant with trained for military with people on its back.
Got it, okay.
Yeah. Where was I? The fort is big enough to serve as a fighting platform for up to 4 small humanoids. Ogre howdahs are most often seen bearing goblins equipped with bows and spears in the battle, but they could just as easily transport kobolds, deep gnomes, or other humanoids of similar size.
Okay, so not like hobgoblins are probably too big to be
up
there.
Yeah, but goblins. And as a matter of fact,
I'll
pull up the image, but the goblins, the image of one has goblins riding it. So let me
look this up. Why would ogres and goblins be in league?
For a multitude of reasons, like it could just be that the goblins of this particular tribe have, or maybe even hobgoblins are part of this, have gained enough strength and power to have bullied or raised an ogre to do serve them.
Nice.
There's
okay.
That. But there's also just the classic, like, Lord of the Rings-esque, where, like, the Horde, or even World of Warcraft, like, the Horde is the ogres, the orcs, the goblins, the trolls work together as they are the enemy kind of deal.
Yeah, this could be one under of those. The PBG to...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I get you.
But yeah, here's a picture of a howdah with goblins upon its back.
Howdah. Oh, shit. Yeah. That is... horrifying.
Yeah, it's really scary.
That is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, let's read that stat block though.
There's a lot of fire in that picture.
There was, yeah.
Unexpectedly so. We have the Ogre Howdah. Large, giant, chaotic, evil, armor class 13, breastplate. Let's see, HP 59, speed is 40 feet, with a strength of 19, dex 8, con 16, intelligence 5, wisdom 7, charisma 7. It's going to have 60 feet of dark vision with a passive perception of 8. It's going to speak common and giant, challenge rating 2 on this one. So the howdah is the next thing to read. The ogre carries a compact fort on its back. Up to 4 small creatures can ride in the fort without squeezing. Ooh. To make a melee attack against a target within 5 feet of the ogre, they must use spears or weapons with reach.
Oh, I see.
To get up there.
Yeah.
So creatures in the fort have 3/4 cover against attacks and effects from outside it. I think that gives them like a +5 or something on there, you see?
Yeah. Something like that.
If the ogre dies, creatures in the fort are placed in unoccupied spaces within 5 feet of the ogre. So the ogre dies, they fall off, essentially.
So he's like their shield.
Yeah.
Like for the real enemy, which is them.
So right.
I'm sure he is an enemy that is strong too. But
yeah, because he can use mace. This is the only action. Melee weapon attack +6 to hit with a reach of 5 feet, one target. It's going to do 11 or 2d6 +4 bludgeoning damage. So you can't ignore it necessarily.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to take care of it before you can take care of the things on its back.
Yeah, what are you doing? Like a polearm guy is going to be able to get up into the... Or like a bow and like an arcane archer might be able to pick off the...
Yeah, but they have 3/4 coverage. Though.
Yeah,
that's what
gonna,
I mean.
It's still going
like
to be a tough shot.
You have to take care of him first.
That is wise to do so.
Yeah, that's how he's designed.
Knock him prone. Because if you knock him prone, I would have those creatures at least make like... They're going
to
be out of there.
Not to get like thrown out.
Fall out of the howdah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But I mean, it doesn't say that on here. I would just imagine logic.
Yeah, I would homebrew that in.
Yeah.
So any questions about ogre mercenaries?
These are cool. Definitely cool. Like, so that's why they're called like ogre mercenaries. Make these guys are for hire.
Yeah, these are specialized. Well, maybe they were for hire, or maybe they were bullied or provoked or coerced or whatever.
They're for assigning.
Yeah, exactly.
For assignments. Yeah.
They're working for someone else. They're not just a monster in the woods.
Exactly, yeah.
These are war monsters, essentially.
They're set up to specialize and do, like, a lot of these teaming up together. Like, this makes
very scary.
This is a cool military unit, especially when you're incorporating things like goblins to run around as mobs.
Right, exactly.
So yeah, it's wild. I'm imagining these this chain one, the chain brute, is gonna be like not giving a shit about who's in the way.
Yeah, so I think that's their thing.
Blowing up their own people.
I can see that for sure. Yeah,
that's like
absolutely.
Spoilers for Revival of F, Dragon Ball.
Oh,
Frieza like killing his own dudes just to make a show of it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna blow up all these dudes.
Well, I think it's time for a long rest.
Let's rest and do it so longly.
Right.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest portion of the show where we get ready to go to sleep. Before I get to sleep, I brush my teeth and floss most of the time and put my slippies on.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Will?
Yeah.
My slippies they have little howdahs on them.
Okay.
Little goblins.
Oh my gosh. Sounds like a nuisance.
Sounds terrible. Well, no. I mean, like, if they were real, you know, like.
It's a
nice little, like, a ogre kind of, like, flesh look to the foot part with the howdah on top.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe it's the ogre face at the end.
I can see that. With the
like, alligator style almost. But sure. So it's an ogre face, and then there's a howdah on the back of it.
So are your toes coming out of its mouth?
Yeah. No. Yeah, that looks pretty cool. Like, it ate somebody. Sure. Cool. Why not? And there's, like, teeth.
Yeah.
And then the little howdah's got, like, four little stuffed gobbies on it with like bow and arrow or whatever.
That's very okay. It went from horribly terrifying to actually kind of adorable.
A little cute. I like it. Yeah. There's unexpectedly, there's a lot of fire on these slippies.
This is stupid.
This slippy's got is just a battering. That's my right slippy. My left slippy's just a fucking battering ram.
Oh, okay. Nice. Sounds heavy and uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's just a fucking block of wood with a metal like flat piece on the end. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. So
contest over.
Someone won. We probably already announced it at this point. Did we? Yeah. This one's airing the 20th. So we already announced whoever won. We don't know that now because it's only like the 7th right now as we're recording this. Mm-hmm. But
The 6th.
As soon as we do know, and we are recording, we will also announce the winner live.
Yeah. You'll get your announcement up in here.
But until then, we got another contest going. Back-to-back contest.
Get ready, dude.
It's never going to stop.
Yeah, so you...
I mean, I'll probably stop one day, but not right now.
You got a deep breath. You got like 5 days to chill.
Yeah.
And now it's time to fucking tell the world about the Dungeon Cast again. Please. Please, we'll give you some stuff.
And as we roll into our Halloween Spooktacular Spook Fest...
Nice Dungeons & Dragons reference, Will.
What?
Oh, you said the word roll. It's synonymous with the game
we talk about all the time. But as we roll into the month of scary things, we're going to give away a scary prize. Brian, why don't you tell our audience what we're giving away Halloween night?
We're giving away spooky time stuff. As a lot of you probably know, they're redoing The Curse of Strahd.
Yes.
They're getting rid of some suspects.
Really redoing it.
They're revamping it. As a matter of fact,
upgrading it.
I think this is definitely a big upgrade. Curse of Strahd, revamped premium edition, the D&D box set. They basically made like a coffin shape.
I was going to say, isn't it like the shape like a coffin?
Yeah, it's shaped like a coffin. And it's got a bunch of cool stuff in it. From what I'm seeing, it's got like a DM's, it's got the Curse of Strahd adventure module, the revamped version.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a DM screen with like images of Barovia on it. There you get the Taraka deck. Taraka.
Nice.
And it looks like you get a few other things. Like there might be like maps in here or like maybe like a postcard or something like that is what I'm seeing on here.
Okay.
I don't know the details of like exactly what's in here. I know the Taraka deck, the module, and it looks like some other paperwork is coming along with it. We'll get those details for you. But it's the Curse of Strahd revamped premium edition. We're going to give away two of them.
We're giving away two of these bad boys.
Got like 5-6 weeks. Yeah, on Halloween, we're going to announce the winner. Mm-hmm. This is going to be part of our Halloween Spooktacular that we do every year and maybe not next year. No, probably next year, but it'll probably be something different next year
because we're running low on monsters. But anyways, we're giving away two of these bad boys, and all you got to do to enter on Twitter is share a link to one of the episodes of one of our shows. Doesn't matter which show, doesn't matter what platform, even Saga, even Dungeons & Dragons Explained in 5 minutes. Just leave the hashtag DungeonCast and you'll be entered. If you want to go ahead and share our show on a different social media platform, just send us proof with a screenshot, and that'll enter you as well. And if you want to do it on Instagram, talk to Brian.
Yeah, I'm Brian. Hey, everybody. You can find me at the Dungeon Cast on Instagram. And I'm pretty much going to do, if you entered our last contest and followed those rules properly, I'm going to do the same thing for this contest. I'm going to make a post about the Curse of Strahd revamped premium edition giveaway. Basically, you're going to tag a friend in the comments below. You can tag one friend per comment to get you an entry. So enter as many times as you want for tagging friends. So go ahead and do that. You have to also make sure that you are following the account and that you have liked the photo. That's the stipulation there. Awesome. But that's pretty much it. Really simple. So no excuses. Get in there. Right. Get yourself a gram. What are you doing? Follow us.
If you want to help support us here at the Dungeon Cast, there's a number of things you can do. You can leave a review on iTunes. That helps us out a lot.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah. You can check out our merch store at teespring.com. I believe it's teespring.com/stores/the-dungeoncast. But guess what? Description or the link is in the description. So go check that out. Get yourself a What the Grump shirt. Get yourself a Super Quest Saga shirt. Get yourself a Year of the Giant shirt or a Dungeon Cast mug. There's a number of things at the store. But
yeah. And keep checking back because I know we'll tell you about it when we put it up, but eventually we're going to put up new stuff.
Yeah,
it's on the way. We got and stuff in the pipeline.
Every purchase helps us out. You can also check out our Patreon, which Brian can tell you a little bit more about.
Yeah, it's patreon.com/dungeoncast. You can do a lot of things there. If you're itching for more Dungeon Cast content, that's where you go to find it. We have one-shot adventures. There's a whole show in there. There's like two seasons of a show in there. like Halloween special, Ranger Danger, the ever popular Ranger Danger.
Yeah.
All of our, hey, this is a good one.
It's all a party of our, full of Rangers.
All of our, yeah, Ranger Danger. That has a kick-ass theme song.
Yeah.
Speaking of music, you can get all of the Dungeon Cast product OST. Anything, any music, any sounds we make, we throw it into a Google Drive that we let you access on the Patreon at a certain level. So just go read like which level works best for you. Support us at, supporting us at a monthly rate is so, it's very, very meaningful to us.
Like, yes.
So thank you to everybody. Usually we start our recordings with Patreon shout outts. We're going to start ending our, so the next episode, you're going to get your Patreon shout out if you came in. So don't worry about that. But yeah, go check us out on Patreon. You can get early episodes of this show. You can get, all the OST for Super Quest Saga. It's there. I think we're going to start putting that in the Super Quest Saga has a wiki now.
It does. And a really good wiki.
Veloxity is working with me to get which song titles go with which episode. Because I have.
Okay.
I'm going to toot my horn a little bit. I spent some time renaming some of the songs to have like really catchy names.
Oh, no, that's cool. Good idea.
I went down a nostalgia dive and did some like Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco.
Oh gosh,
came back up. So it's like that had some influence over what I'm titling some songs.
Okay, for sure.
So it was a lot of fun. So if you guys want to go check that type of stuff out, you can Patreon. So thanks. You can also get exclusive merch there. And that's a big one. But the biggest thing you can do is just to tell somebody about the Dungeon Cast and get them to listen to the show.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate you guys sticking with us till the end here where we get sleepy. And I'm really sleepy now. And I think I might go to bed.
I think it's time to call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.